Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily.
Good morning, Christopher. This morning, we're talking about a show on
Netflix again.
Not Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. Are we talking about the same show?
Oh, right.
Invincible. There's only not Invincibles.
I'm cheap. Invincible. Only go to two different medias unless there's something that more than one person recommends for me, which means be popular.
I'm glad that it's not on Netflix because I just canceled my Netflix subscription. Shockingly,
you gotta
never
tell
thought
me,
that would happen.
Got it quickly. Why? Tell me why.
There was nothing left to watch.
Oh.
We watch a Nomad Land. God, worst title ever. Great movie, worst title. We watched that on Hulu, so I signed up for a free month of Hulu, and I started looking around Hulu, and it's like all the shows that Netflix has lost over the past 3 or 4 years have come to Hulu.
Well, yeah, because
they're all
they
on
have
Hulu
commercials, and there's more money.
No, $12 a month, no commercials.
Oh,
and that's cheaper than Netflix.
You know what? I forget about that. Now, did you completely get rid of Netflix, or did you just suspend your account?
Well, I haven't actually canceled it yet because I have another 3 or 4 weeks on the subscription,
oh, okay,
right? Because it's once a month. But
yeah.
In my mind, I have canceled it. And I'm like, because, you know, I don't want to live with it for a week before I, you know, in case I decide, no, I really do Netflix, need Netflix because I want to watch this, that, or anything. I haven't missed it at all.
I'm sorry.
So
I love Netflix.
The only reason I don't cancel is because I forget. And I'm usually very good about not canceling. What are we talking about? We're getting way off track here. We're talking about Invincible TV show, a cartoon on Amazon Prime. And what's it about, Christopher? Do you want me to do the recap or can you sum
it
up?
I would like you to do the recap, but I just want to say, first of all, it's superheroes. And I thought you were going to hate it because it's animated.
What?
Why would you say that?
One of my favorite shows is Archer. I love animated shows.
But is Archer superhero?
Well, no, he's super spy.
Yeah. Okay. But I really thought you were going to hate this, but go give us the recap.
Well, you're dumb. I'm sorry, Chris. I know you hate it. Wait. So Invincible is about a young teen boy, 17 years old. He seems younger than that though, because he's kind of naive and generally a good kid, but it's about his experience growing up with the most powerful superhero in the world as his father. So this is basically, his father is basically Superman. So there's a lot of thinly veiled stuff here. All these characters that we see are basically straight out of other universes, mostly DC. You've got the dad is basically Superman. There's a Batman character. There's a Wonder Woman character. There's an Aquaman character. So this is thinly veiled.
Yeah, knockoff. It's almost a spoof, a borderline spoof.
Oh, there's no question that, I mean, they're not trying to hide this. They're being very upfront about this. They're not trying to be, I don't know what the word is, but... there's no hiding the fact that they're just ripping off these characters. We're not ripping them off.
You said thin veil. I've noticed a thin veil on a lot of, like, not just rip-off stuff, but like some stereotypes that they want to, like, for example, the superhero's wife, who is very, at least in the first part of it, very subservient, and she's Asian or Asian American.
I wouldn't say that she's subservient. No, I actually was, that's one of the notes I have is, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the mom... It's primarily about the boy,
right,
and his dad, but the mom plays a surprising role in that, and she's a realtor, but she has
another
a surprisingly
stereotype.
Strong, I don't know, that's a stereotype, a surprisingly strong role in it. So it's about him becoming a super and getting along with his dad, and generally speaking, it's not just a regular superhero thing. It's not a Marvel. It goes a lot deeper. They hit a lot more deep subjects. And it's not for the faint of heart either. This show does tackle some heavier stuff, and it is rated as 16 plus, so 16 years and older. That might be a little bit overdone. I mean, if you have a kid who's 14 or 15 is mature, I would say that's okay.
Yeah, but some of those graphics are very graphic.
What's that?
Some of those graphics are very graphic. They reminded me
no spoilers yet.
Well, I love this old, I think it's 70s. Cartoon, heavy metal.
Columbia Pictures presents heavy metal.
Well, now I hear that. Maybe that was the early 80s. To a universe you Some of the action shots took me back to that old movie.
Okay, I don't know that one. But and just to get, we're going to go into spoilers, but not yet. You're safe so far.
So far. Well, I'm going to throw in one little part before you say all that. Okay. Just so that's clear, okay. Everybody knows, because we just said it wasn't Marvel and it wasn't DC. This actually is from a company called Image Universe Superhero. And basically, it was written by a guy by the name of Robert Kirkman. And most of the art and style, if you're familiar with Corey Walker and another guy by the name of Ryan Oatley, these two guys are the ones that are kind of responsible for the whole style of the art you see.
You know, what grabbed me about this was that this is very well animated. It's not amazingly animated, but it's very competent. I think they picked their style and I think they met dead on what they were shooting for. It's not, I would say, you know, Archer is arguably a better animated series, but it's more limited. The scenes, I think there's more work that goes into each scene on Archer, but you know, Archer is really only 2.5D, whereas this is really 3D, right? Do you know Archer very well?
Yeah, I love that Archer show. I didn't binge watch it, but I never watched less than 2 or 3 episodes at a time, because they kind of go together loosely. But this cartoon is very tight. It's a storyline that goes from episode to episode.
Right. Artwork wise, it's very competent. It's very good. And it's also kind of, I think that helps actually, because it's like cartoons from the '80s, but done really well. It's like that kind of style. That's what I feel. But because it's that style and we're so used to seeing that in quote normal safe cartoon elements, I think that's one of the reasons why it becomes so much more powerful when they go dark.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So we're one more section we're going to cover. We're going to actually do our review right now. We're going to say if we liked it or didn't like it, if it's good or bad, whether or not you should watch it. What do you think, Christopher? Is this worth watching?
I love this animation. We usually talk about it before and we kind of explain why we like it. So we're kind of breaking our format, but I'm going to give it 2 thumbs up right at the beginning, because when I saw it, I go, this is rock and roll. Whoa.
No, this, you know, we're just going to give a quick take on it, basically, and then explain why. I am pretty much with you. I don't think I'm quite so gonzo as you are, but, you know, this is one of the things I do like about the show is that it's not as predictable as one would expect. It, like everything else these days, it tries to break the old mold of what superheroes were, where, you know, upstanding, nobody dies, it's clean and safe and whatnot. Of course, that stereotype has been dismantled in the '80s with people like The Watchmen and the Dark Knight Returns. So this is by no means new, but it seems like everyone wants to do their own take on it. So I'm going to give it mostly 2 thumbs up. You know, it's not like a solid 2 thumbs up though. Part of it is like, do we really need this? I guess the question I pose, and yeah, it's a good show. I enjoyed watching it, and oddly binge worthy. I hate binge watching, but this one I can binge. So that was weird.
Why do you think you could binge watch it?
I don't know.
Made this animated cartoon, or whatever you want to call it, superhero show, what made you want to binge watch it that you couldn't normally do?
You know, it's not that it's animated. There's something about the show. So mostly 2 thumbs up. And oh yeah, okay. So now we're getting through that. At this point, if you haven't seen the show, and both of us recommend that you do see the show, and you want to see the show, stop now, come back after you've watched it, because we are going to spoil. We're going to talk about what happens in the show. So last warning, spoiler alerts ahead. And does this show go dark, Christopher?
Oh, it goes more than dark. It slightly gets into the psyche of the kid. And as the episodes move on, if I don't want to give spoilers yet, it really definitely changes.
We're past spoilers.
Oh, okay.
This is a spoiler zone.
So the artist there, like I said earlier, the guy by the name of Corey Walkman, he starts taking the art and making it more gross, more grotesque. And then the psychology kind of follows along with it as we find this mysterious dark secret that is unfolding through the storyline.
Well, yeah, it really punches you. The first episode, the entire episode is, you know, pretty expected. It goes a little bit deeper. I mean, it is funny. It starts off in high. This is a high school drama to some degree. I mean, literally, you have one of the girls saying, "Oh, can you believe he cheated on me? Oh my God!" It's like you're dealing with that kind of level of storytelling, but then also deeper levels about what the kid's going through. And the kid, like I said earlier, is really kind of naive, and he's a good kid. He has the chance, once his powers have sprouted, to go and kick the ass of the local bully. But he doesn't. He really pulls a Luke Skywalker and says, "I'm not fighting you.
Right.
Hit me as much as you want. I'm giving up, man." So that's very surprising. And I think very mature and naive at the same time.
Well, it's like what we don't see in television very often. And we especially don't see it in blood and gore type cartoons. Rick and Morty type thing. He is, I don't think he's naive. I think he's just a nice kid. Who's been raised properly.
But he's still naive.
As soon as he finds out he has like superpowers, he's still a nice kid because he was raised properly.
Yeah, but he's still naive. I don't want to pick out any particular. I mean, I could go on. I mean, yeah, he's still pretty naive. I mean, he lets that, what's his name? I can't remember the black guy who basically turns to stone. That guy basically uses him. And he doesn't see that coming.
I think this is what's so cool about the storyline. Is the kids making mistakes that teenagers make. Like, I remember when I was a teenager, I made some bad choices and a couple friends, and they did not come out well in the end.
Yeah, it's about learning how to deal with people and learning, you know, who to trust and who not to trust and how much to trust. But so that's the whole point of the first episode. You're going along, everything's kind of rosy, even though it's a little bit deep. It seems okay. This seems like a show worth watching. And then, bam, they literally tear your head off at the last. Yeah. The last scene is and that scene, you know, comes out of nowhere. Almost comes out of nowhere. There's a little bit of hint that the dad is a little bit bad. There's something about the dad.
Something's not quite right.
Right.
We still don't know that he's not a hero.
And that is that scene, that last scene, I think is so well paced. Like the whole episode has this tone, and then just it shreds it to pieces. And I thought that was just a brilliant piece of movie making. Or TV making, or whatever you want to call it.
And the scene we're talking about, everybody dies.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm going to back up to the art just one more time, because I love the colors of his suit. They're not what we usually see these days from superheroes. Most superheroes these days are going pretty dark with their colors and whatnot. He's got these vibrant colors, and that splash screen that they come up with for the show title, which they do every episode, and very particularly... I love that yellow and that green. It's beautiful. Yellow and green. Yellow and blue. I know my colors. What'd you think about the splash screen, Christopher?
Oh, I thought it was cool. And it's kind of how it reminds me of a television show, the way they do the beginning, where they have like this lead, and it's a show called That Girl. And there's like this little kind of beginning part. And at the very end of the intro, somebody says That Girl. And then that's kind of where the commercials start, and that starts the show off. And in this one, they kind of do the same thing. They have this whole thing. And then the big word is
Invincible.
And then all of a sudden the card comes on,
which is his name. Which is kind of a goofy name, but you know, if you're a naive kid,
yeah, which is kind
that
of
might be the
them.
Name you pick.
Yeah, it's like.
Did you notice anything about that? I'm sorry, what's that?
It's like the kid that gets the fire engine red sports car, and it's you know it's
not going to end well. I actually knew a kid like that in high school. He literally got for his 16th birthday. A red Porsche 944.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
And it was red?
Oh, yeah. No, it was, and you know, it's just some things you should not do. That is something you should not do. Anyway, did you notice anything about the splash screen from episode to episode?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, I did. Every episode, it splashes up and they splash a little bit of blood on it. And the blood doesn't go away, so it just keeps accumulating. So, you know, if this show goes into like season six, I think that it's just going to be completely drenched in blood and you won't even be able to see Invincible.
It's accumulative.
Yeah, well, that I thought I like the way they drop it in. And I like the fact that it, you know, it's getting bloodier and bloodier because they're getting closer and closer to the truth about the father.
I'm going to have to look back at that. That's kind
of
cool.
So one of the really strong aspects of the show, and I think one of the reasons why it makes it so good. and this is so easy to fail at, is the voice acting, I think, is spot on almost all the characters.
Yeah, so the lead part is done by a guy by the name of Steven. I think his name's pronounced Yon. And his kind of, well, Debbie Grayson, which is his kind of wannabe, sometimes girlfriend, is done by an actress by the name of Sandra Oh.
You know, you're the Hollywood guy here. I don't care about these people. Though because it's on Prime, you able to do that X-ray thing so you can see who's on any given screen. And, you know, I was surprised to see who was in there. I don't know how close. Did you look closely at all the entire cast?
I didn't see anybody outstandingly famous that everybody was like a household name, but I think that most of the voice.
You missed it then.
Oh, what is it?
Luke Skywalker is in there.
Who is he?
Do you know? Guess who Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, voices one of the actors, one of the characters.
Oh.
No, it's the tailor, which is a very minor character, but I never would have guessed that was Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill, I think I
did not pick that up.
Mark Hamill is a superstar. More I learn about this guy, the more I like him, because he was Hollywood and he got kind of Hollywooded for a little while, but then he turned back to a normal guy, and he's like a normal guy who's just been voice acting for decades. And
he's
just
in
putting
so
the work
many
in.
Video games, so many background cartoons, and he doesn't mind making fun of himself. He's a real human being.
Well, and he has a normal family.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, his wife he met before Star Wars really got big, and then they broke up, and then he went back to her because he got tired of the Hollywood scene.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, he's in like all kinds of shows. He's in all kinds of video games. Have you ever seen this game, Squadron 42?
No.
Well, it's coming out soon.
Well, how would I have seen it if it's not coming out yet?
Well, I don't know if you keep track of video games or whatnot. But yeah, he's in like all kinds of TV series. He's like, for one, The Mandalorian. And he's in The Last Kids on Earth. I mean, Wizards. It just goes on and on and on. It's Scooby-Doo. I mean, he's everywhere.
Do you want to talk about The Mandalorian at some point?
Yes.
Okay. Let's not do it on this show, though.
We're going to have to wait till December when it comes back on, though.
So I think that I'm going to sum up the show again now that we're in the spoiler zone. It's a cute story about a sensitive young man coming of age and kind of understanding his relationship to the world and to his superhero dad, who happens to be a homicidal maniac on a galactic scale.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Which is, you know, I can see a little bit of conflict arising there. It's a little bit Vader-ish. Again, a little bringing the Star Wars there. Right, because it's like Luke Skywalker versus Darth Vader. The dad is literally an evil overlord, but nobody knows it yet.
I'm just hoping it doesn't go down the Marvel thing where we get superheroes that are bad because they're superheroes. Where everybody wants to kill the superhero because he's too super.
Well, I think, you know, they have that elements in there. I mean, one of the things I like, as I said earlier, is that this is not a predictable show entirely. And some things are predictable, but there are a lot of different elements to it. It has this underlying story that progresses, the arc of the father and people discovering he's destroyed the Guardians of the Earth or whatever the name of their thing. He's killed, what was it, seven other superheroes.
Yeah.
Murdered them. For no apparent reason.
Not right away, but it almost starts off that way, right?
Well, that's the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
So there's that, but then there's also kind of the monster of the week aspect of it as well, because almost every episode you get, you know, another villain who pops up, and they dispatch him usually pretty quickly, but it's usually used as a way to, expose more of his story or his character development. So that it's kind of interesting. It's not just devoted to the arc, but there are also these other subplots that just are almost not bubblegum, but you know, it's easier to get through.
And oh, I wouldn't call this bubblegum at all. Appeals to teenagers, I wouldn't go down that. I think it's
some of the villains they throw in are clearly like kind of silly, like the earthquake guy with his earthquake bracelets, right?
Once again, it's kind of spoofy. They're almost kind of, I feel like they're almost kind of making a mild like, aha, did you see that? That's so typical. Like, we got to throw it in there just because it's
there's a little bit of spoofiness. I mean, yeah, there is, but you know, you did sell this to me as being, oh yeah, it's, I said, you just started describing to me and it says, and I retorted, is that kind of like Archer? And it's like, yeah, it's a lot like Archer. And then I watched the show and I was like, this is not Archer.
Well, Archer is not a comedy. Spoof against, it's a subtle spoof against spy shows.
You don't, what about Archer is subtle?
Oh, you're,
there's
saying
nothing subtle about it. Oh, and it's, okay. And it is in its bones, it's a comedy. Whereas, you know, Invincible in its bones is more of a drama or even a horror show. I mean, it's almost horrific. And the horror isn't that bad. I mean, you know, when they're smashing people's skulls off, they don't linger on it. They punch you with it. They give it just enough for you to digest it without really lingering on it.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
James, so what did you think about the dialogue?
You know, it's good enough for most of the show. It's perfectly fine. But then there, it really kind of amps it up. There are points that are really funny or just really good. Like the mom comes up with some great lines once in a while when, you know, her son comes up to her at one point and says, make me go to bed. And she's like, and she has a great retort. I don't want to get into that. You guys have seen the show, but it was, you know, she brings it down and they write her really well. And one of my favorite lines is when there's, a little girl basically trying out for a superhero team and she gets on the team and this loudmouth is like, wow, how is she on the team? She's just like a little kid. Isn't there an age requirement? And her retort is, I'm sorry, isn't there a dick size requirement?
Well, and it's kind of weird with that one character because you see her drinking from time to time. And every time, the thing is about her, which is interesting, is every time Monster she girl. Uses her superhero power, she gets a little younger. So at some point, she's going to be a baby.
Yeah.
And then she's going to be out of control because if she doesn't eat dinner or she gets a little hungry, temper tantrum. I'm worried to the point where if she gets past the baby, what's going to happen?
Well, I don't know. Well, it seems like Mr. Robot's trying to fix that. So we'll see what he does.
Oh, right.
And that was an interesting subtalk too. But, you know, we could talk on for another hour, but I think we probably pretty much wrapped it up, right? And is there anything else that we need to talk about? I mean, like I said, this is primarily the same kind of genre that we've seen with, I think the Watchmen are a good comparison, except this is a little bit more brutal than the Watchmen. The Watchmen is a little bit better written, I think, and a little bit more adult in some ways, but this is more, I think, aimed at high school kids. Or it's a high school drama.
Well, there it is. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and, as I already said, give the two thumbs up, and you said a solid one and an almost two.
Yeah, two-ish. Yeah, we did the ratings already. It's over.
Well, I'm trying.
To the beginning. Weren't you here for that? You need to show up for the beginning of the show, Christopher.
Hey, James, it was fun chatting again with you.
It was a pleasure.
Bye.
Goodbye.
PopSub Podcast has been brought to you by Markers in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. Contact PopSub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Running fast to a podcast. Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?
Wonder where I'm going.